From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Today, in the days since the shooting in Parkland, Florida, a small number of outspoken teenagers have risen to national prominence for their activism and their calls for gun control. But more than 3,000 students attend Stoneman Douglas High School. My colleague Jack Healy sat down with six of them. It's Monday, March 5th.
So I flew down to Parkland, Florida, and spent a week trying to get to know some of the kids who you didn't necessarily see at the vanguard of the movement that has sprung up in the wake of the shooting. One day outside of the school, I met Brooke Harrison and her parents, Denise and Robert. We talked for a little while, and a couple nights later, I met up with Brooke and several of her friends.
Will you guys tell me about how you know each other?
I know her from elementary. I went to private school.
The girls all sunk into a sofa together to talk as their parents sat outside on the patio and chatted with each other.
I've known Annabelle since 7th grade. I've only recently met Maddie.
We've known each other since 5th grade.
I've known you since middle school.
Yeah. So they were
Victoria. Alvarez.
And what's yours?
Eden. Hebron.
Eden.
Madison. Zeltwanger.
Madison. Lange.
Two girls named Madison. Maddie and Madison, they called each other.
Annabelle Worthington.
Annabelle.
Brooke Harrison.
Okay. And Brooke.
I know you.
Okay. And then 14.
Who I play soccer.
Okay.
We talked about the activities that they pursue.
I'm a singer.
I hang out with my friends a lot. And
and a little bit about, you know, what they love to do as kids.
English.
English.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was
English.
It like
English
just
went on.
English
went
on.
English went on.
So they were telling me about school and English class and writing an essay.
About education and
rights. Education for, like, women.
Practicing
like
for our FSA.
Just so many.
We
all
were,
of them were argumentative, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And our desks normally aren't in rows.
Yeah.
Or in groups. They're normally in rows.
Like, she just, like, wants to be nice.
Which, honestly, I think was a blessing because it was a lot easier to run.
Can we just know where my desk is? Where usually...
I know.
It's right there.
I know. No, but my desk was right in front of the door. That's why I saw the gun. Because when I looked up...
I saw him walking by.
You did?
I
didn't
saw him,
see.
Like a shadow.
I
saw his feet see, like, or like something.
He was wearing a hoodie. That's why.
And I heard he was...
And they have an outfit.
And then they started telling me about the shooting.
Well, I was writing my essay and then we heard the gunshots. It was like... It was one after another. It was like...
Yeah.
And so in my head, I thought like... Oh, like... Firecrackers, you know.
Nice.
But, had anyone ever set off firecrackers in the school before?
No.
Yeah.
But I just figured, I was like, okay, like firecrackers. And then I remember the glass door breaking. And for some reason, I ended up, like, I don't remember this part. It's kind of like blurry, but I remember being on the floor.
I want to say I heard like a crack of like a shell. And I was like, oh.
I remember like opening my eyes. I was on the other side of the door. I was holding the teddy bear I had gotten. And then I guess that's when it like came in and I realized what was happening.
Their entire classroom explodes with gunfire.
And I remember putting my hands over my head like a tornado drill just because I didn't want any like glass or anything hitting me. Cause you can feel like the stuff like falling onto you.
You could smell it in the air.
Okay.
The only, I cannot describe the smell. It wasn't like a fire. It wasn't like anything.
No, it was gunpowder. Gunpowder
has
a smell.
When you smelt it, you knew that's a gun. That's a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a lot of smoke.
Yeah.
I can't even, I can't even explain it.
It was hard to breathe.
It was like definitely.
Yeah.
There was like a big cloud. Like,
and I,
if you saw
like
my bag now that we got the bags.
Yeah.
My bag was a black Tory Burch purse. There's white.
All over.
I just got a new purse.
It's like dust.
Yeah.
You can tell that it's gunpowder.
Does anyone have a bullet hole in their backpack? Because I do.
Really?
I have a bullet hole in my backpack.
You do? Can I see it?
Do you have?
Wow.
Oh my gosh, wow. Wow. But there's no like bullet in there, right?
No.
Like bullet casing or anything.
It was really fast.
If there was,
look.
That's terrible.
One of the things that these girls have done to try to understand what happened to them on a grand scale is to try to understand moment by moment what happened to them on a micro scale.
So this is the diagram.
Okay.
If you can see, this is the door. Mm-hmm. This is the wall that connects to the hallway. Mm-hmm. This is the wall.
And so the night that we chatted, they all drew a diagram of their classroom where each cluster of desks was, which student was sitting at which desk, and where the students fled once the bullets started flying.
This is the TA table. And there's windows right here.
Okay. Is there a TA?
They drew images of where certain students were when they died, and they drew images of where they believed the bullets were coming in from. It was just like a map of the day that their childhood ended.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, this is where I was sitting. I was facing the door. Alyssa was facing me. And then...
the shooter was firing through the window of the classroom door, which the student said was locked.
Miss Posh, I guess, had, like, some kind of cardboard. So I, like, kind of, like, took that and, like, put it over my face.
To try to, like...
like, I don't know if it did anything, but I thought that, like...
just to, like,
I just thought that if he saw my eyes, he would shoot me.
Yeah.
Because I was right across from the door, right? Mm-hmm, so I'm, like...
Yeah.
I have to cover myself.
I feel like my whole world was spinning and everything was going in slow motion so that the shots were just, like, boom, boom.
You know when you...
but they were so
loud.
It's
like when you're watching a movie and you see it happening, but you're not there... that's
it's
exactly
like an
what
out of
it
body
felt
experience.
Like. That's exactly
yeah.
What it
I was like screaming. When I thought about this, about being in a school shooting, and the one thing that I've always said that I would do is text my mom, "I love you," and like I'm like thank you for everything. And I was so like mad at everything that I wasn't going to be able to get to do that, and I was going to die and not let my mom know that I loved her.
And then she shoots through our door, and there's glass, like, all over, like, in front of me. And then I just hear, like, a few shots happen over here, and then I see Alyssa, and she's just, like, standing like this. And then she, like, falls back. And then it, like, goes silent. And I'm, like, screaming. And I'm, like, screaming her name.
Yeah.
And then she, like, didn't answer.
When the SWAT team went into
the... I was
the,
like,
into
yeah.
the
cover
room
me,
next
like,
door.
They were yelling.
Like, into the room next door. They were yelling, like, oh, like, injured, like,
yeah,
blah, blah,
yeah.
And, like, get out. They were yelling at the class in the store. And I remember holding my teddy bear, screaming, like, please come get us, please come get
yeah.
us, please come get us, please
yeah.
come
yeah.
get us.
I remember
and,
praying
and it
out loud.
Took hours.
Yeah.
I felt like hours for them
yeah.
to go from that classroom to ours.
Yeah.
The SWAT officers stormed into the school. They yelled into the classroom and asked whether... there was any danger inside of the classroom, anyone with a gun. The student said no, there wasn't, and then they fled.
I remember Xavier telling me, put your hands over
yeah.
your head.
Yeah, I just remembered just from like seeing like all these mass shootings and people running out with their hands up.
Yeah,
I didn't want to be
my head too.
The person who they thought was I know
should.
That it's but I just put my hands up.
I didn't
and I ran.
That.
That's when I ran.
They fled through a hallway that they described as being lined with SWAT officers, and they burst out into the daylight and ran through a parking lot and to the edge of the school grounds.
And so that's what I just remember, like, running for my life.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the dogs barking, and then that's when it kicked in, and I was like, let me get out of here, and I ran.
Yeah, so
I ran from school to Parkland Golf.
That's so far.
It's
yeah, this is,
so far.
That is far. Yeah.
It's really far. I was in jeans, Vans.
Same. I was in a sweater. They took
and
hands up in.
I remember.
I looked good for that day because it was Valentine's
Day.
I looked
so good.
And they took my stuff and everything. I looked so good.
They literally took took like my favorite outfit for evidence because there was blood on it.
I didn't give them my stuff.
Oh, I
me
you,
either. I went home. I washed my teddy bear. They asked me, "You got blood on anything?" I said, "No."
I didn't give my teddy bear.
But my parents was like, "Yeah, like it's in the wash. Like let me see if there's blood." Mm-hmm. So I was like,
The teddy bear was the only thing I got out of that class with. It was the only thing I was gonna keep. Mm-mm.
In the 2 weeks since the shooting, they have been spending a lot of time with each other, going to sleepovers, going to memorials.
We were going to another viewing after we had two funerals that morning,
yeah.
And then a viewing for Luke.
Mm.
And then we were going to Gina's viewing, what we thought was Gina's viewing. But instead we walked in, my best friend and I, we walked in with our moms and they... It was kind of weird because we were all wearing the pins with the ribbons,
yeah.
And they asked what the ribbons are for, and we were like, okay, this one's for Jamie, and this one's for Gina, and this one's for Stoneman Douglas in general,
mm-hmm.
And so they were like, oh, that's cool, and then so we walked into the funeral home, and they handed us this card,
mm-hmm.
And we were expecting to see like Gina's face on it. But it was this guy named Ron, Ronald, and this old guy here. You can see the picture. And we're like, okay, that's not
Gina.
So you
went to the wrong funeral.
Yeah, and so we figured out that it was like the wrong day.
These girls are pretty resilient, and they've actually been able to find some light moments in all of this.
So now you get to celebrate Ronald.
Yeah. Like, we were like, thanks, Ron, for making
us
laugh.
Wait, did you see him?
So when we talked, these girls were incredibly composed and even laughed at times, but then they are still just like tumbled back into that day.
That's all they're saying to me too. They're like, it's fine. It's going to be fine.
Everything
you're
feeling
like,
is perfectly normal.
Like, I feel broken. Like, I feel defeated.
Yeah, me too.
Like, right now in my mind, it's not going to be fine.
Like,
I will
like,
never get over
like,
the
I'm never
feeling
be okay.
of being broken.
They don't,
yeah.
like, all of us have lost, like, our friends and classmates,
yeah.
and they're just like, no, it's normal, it's fine, but it's not, like, fine.
It's not,
fine.
No, like,
fine.
Nothing
feels
one
fine.
Thing, but, like, I'm, like, traumatized.
This is
yeah.
trauma.
We
PTSD.
Went through
PTSD.
Trauma.
PTSD.
Literally PTSD.
Especially for what we
Wait,
went through.
PTSD
we
takes
saw,
30 days
we
to
saw,
get.
We literally saw people.
I can't close my eyes. Without looking up and seeing the gun.
Like seeing Alyssa's body.
Mine is seeing Alex and the bullet holes through the wall. I see it happening in slow motion over and over.
We talked for about 2 hours, but it was getting late. And we had to wrap things up because, after all, it was a school night.
How are you feeling about going back tomorrow?
I'm
I don't
so
think
scared.
I'm excited.
No,
I'm happy because I want to see my friends. I
I'm excited
seen
to see my friends,
now.
But I'm so scared to go back.
They're right.
Oh, yeah,
it's a part
like,
of the healing process.
I can't go.
At the same time, I don't feel ready.
I'm not ready.
To go back. But there's. I don't know if I'm ever going to feel ready to
so
go back.
So you might as well just get it over with.
Get it over with. Rip the Band-Aid off.
I'm scared. Like I'm
yeah.
like excited. Like I'm desperate to see all my friends, but like I'm scared to go back.
Hi.
Hey. Good morning. The next morning, I showed up at Brooke Harrison's house at about 6:40 to be with her and her mother as they got ready and went off to school.
Yeah. Do you want to take this in the car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So normally we try to leave by 7:20.
Okay.
We've been leaving at 7:30
yeah.
for a 7:40 start, but you know we do live close.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Brooke skids in at the last minute, but. We're not going to do that today.
Yeah, yeah.
My first...
That's your normal.
My first
that's
period
your...
teachers, though, on each day, don't care, though. So it's, it sounds really bad, but, like...
And she and her mom chatted, and...
I'm honestly not that hungry. I just have, like, a piece of toast.
Her mom made bacon and toast, and Brooke had some coffee.
Maybe 5% coffee?
With
yeah, yeah.
milk and three scoops of sugar in it. And,
So probably wear, like, my, like, PIM with everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And try to find, like, any burgundy shirts I have
mm-hmm,
or anything.
Mm-hmm. She wore her burgundy Stoneman Douglas t-shirt, and she put on a burgundy PIM to commemorate the shooting.
Oh, Mom, could I find $25 because you know how I told you Eden was making like the necklaces?
Yeah.
So this girl, Eden, not the Eden who came here, a different Eden. She's making like these really cool necklaces that have like a burgundy stone in it and like two silver stones inside Douglas.
Oh,
and they're like $5 and they're so pretty. So wanted to, and she's donating like it all to the victims fund.
Oh nice.
So
nice.
I wanted to get one.
So at 7:23.
Okay, are we ready to get in the car?
Yeah.
We hop into their SUV together.
Can we sit in the back with you?
No. Sit in the front. Yeah, absolutely. And we drive through the community. Oh, no.
Okay. I'm bacon.
5 second rule. How do you feel? Are you excited? Are you nervous?
I'm very excited just because I haven't seen just so many people since the incident.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy to like give like hugs to everyone.
Yeah.
And then I'm also kind of nervous because I feel like if I see something that like reminds me of like Elena, I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
Or like if like during lunch where I see like where she used to sit, because she used to sit in like the same spot.
And after probably about 20 minutes or so of driving, we pull into a circular driveway that leads to one of the doors and leading into the school.
Oh, it's making me sad.
Mom, please don't cry.
I know.
I think she's cried more than me.
Okay, so you're gonna go to the cafeteria, get your schedule.
Yeah.
All right, text me or call me if you need to.
It was really nice talking.
Brooke and her mom
really
nice hugged and kissed each other.
First day back.
Thank
love you.
And she hops out of the car and heads back into school.
I love you too.
This week marks the first full week back at school for the students at Stoneman Douglas High School. On Saturday, despite weeks of lobbying by the students, the Florida Senate rejected a proposal to ban the sale of assault weapons. We'll be right back.
When you think about the 2024 election, how do you feel?
Sickened.
Hey, y'all. Estead Herndon here, host of The Run-Up from the New York Times. And recently, I've been asking this question a lot.
I feel tired. I feel a little scared.
And I've been hearing the same sort of answer in reply.
We have an incompetent incumbent and a Republican that I'm not going to vote for. Yeah.
When voters look ahead to the 2024 presidential election, they feel apathy, dread, that it's just a mess. The Run-Up is your guide to that mess. Each week,
I am going to vote for the man with the most impeachments and the most indictments.
We'll talk to voters, elected officials.
I believe America can do for anyone what she's done for me.
And the candidates themselves, all to help you better understand this moment in American politics. The Run-Up is new every Thursday. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's what else you need to know today.
I'm happy to take your questions now.
We have a fairly strong manufacturing sector in this community, and I'm pretty sure they'd be happy to hear what your government plans to do on new tariffs announced on aluminum and steel in the south of the border.
We regard the imposition of any new tariffs or any tariffs on steel or aluminum between our two countries as absolutely unacceptable.
Over the weekend, U.S. trading partners threatened to retaliate against President Trump's plan for tariffs on imported metals with tariffs of their own on everything from American-made motorcycles to bourbon.
Furthermore, the level of cooperation and integration of our militaries, our defense of North America, and our working together on a broad range of security issues.
In Canada, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said that Trump's rationale for the tariffs, that imported steel from his country was a national security threat to the U.S., quote, makes no sense.
I hope the president doesn't really do this, because if he does, it's just going to be a huge tax on American citizens.
Back in Washington, senators from the president's own party, including Orrin Hatch of Utah and Ben Sasse of Nebraska, openly opposed the tariffs, saying they would hurt American consumers by raising the price on goods that use aluminum and steel.
If you own a steel mill, today was great for you. If you consume steel and every American family at the store tonight bought something that has different metals in it, today's a bad day for you.
In an interview on Fox News Sunday, the president's chief trade advisor, Peter Navarro, was asked about the criticism from Republicans.
Are Sasse and Hatch, who is the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, are they wrong?
Of course they're wrong. And in terms of the Republican Party, let's remember this. Donald Trump ran against 16 Republicans. None of those Republicans supported Donald Trump's positions on trade. He beat every one of them.
That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.
If you love a good mystery, you'll love Audible with the best selection of audiobooks around. You'll find everything from modern thrillers to classic detective stories that will keep you listening on the edge of your seat. And if you want to get real, there are plenty of true crime podcasts and exclusive originals too. Explore bestsellers, new releases, and new voices waiting to be discovered. It's a killer lineup, so get your imagination going with Audible. Sign up for your free 30-day trial at audible.com/thedaily.